Hey guys, how's it going? This is Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And it's Tuesday, which means Twitter Tuesday.
Twitter Tuesdays, baby.
So we're going to be streaming live on Twitter. That's at Locked On Clips, in case you didn't know. We're going to be taking your questions live. If you ever can't tune into one of these broadcasts, feel free to shoot us a question, a take, whatever you got, any time of the week, at Locked On Clips. Charles is always down to field your tweets.
Will was fielding some pretty mean tweets from a guy earlier.
I got my first hater. Yeah. I only have like 100-some followers, so it's real accomplishment for me. But anyways, we're going to kick things off with a recap of the Mavericks game last night. We might touch a little bit on the ghost of Dirk Nowitzki.
We will. It was a nice moment.
And then we'll pretty much just be taking your guys' questions and, you know, doing a little bit of just general Clips chat.
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, let's go.
So last night, the Clippers beat the Mavs 121-112 in Staples. Fantastic game. Right off the bat, we're going to talk about it. There's a wonderful moment with Doc and Dirk. It was Dirk's last time playing against the Clippers, which was, you know, a big deal. With 9 seconds left and the lead, you know, the game pretty much decided. Doc took a timeout, grabbed the mic, and said, "Let's go," to the Clippers crowd, and kind of pointed at Dirk so everyone could give him a standing ovation. The crowd obviously happily obliged.
It was really cool.
It was awesome.
It was really nice of Doc. Carlisle was obviously a big fan of it. He commended Doc, called him a class act. And before, I hadn't even thought about it as really like Dirk's last game.
Yeah.
It didn't really set in until that. I don't know. It was pretty cool. He talked about his favorite Dirk memory, which was when he was coaching the Celtics, and at one point he and KG went at it, and he just said that it was like so interesting, the dichotomy of these two dudes. Like KG, obviously very kind of more in your face,
and speaking English, because Dirk was cursing at him in German.
Yeah, so that neither player could really understand what the other was saying, but it was clear that they were both mad. And then Doc made the comment that Dirk was always one of those guys who had like the icy demeanor, or like a little bit calmer of a demeanor, but was always a killer, like was always trying to hurt you, and that he would end up doing sometimes. So I thought that was kind of a neat little anecdote.
It was a sweet off the cuff moment too. Like Doc didn't plan this at all. Like Dirk didn't expect it. Carlisle didn't expect it. Doc, they asked him about it and he said, "We had the lead and I had a timeout."
Doc is also just one of the more fun coaches.
Like, dude crushed off it.
Off the cuff.
Yeah, it was a great moment for the old German man and for basketball as a whole. The whole crowd was kind of like, "What's going on? Like, why is Doc grabbing the mic? Like, what on earth is about to happen?" But now that the sappy stuff is out of the way, hey, we won! We got a much-needed victory on a night when, what was it, the Kings lost, the Lakers lost.
Yep.
There was another team that lost, and the Spurs lost.
Yes,
something
the Spurs
like
also
that.
Lost.
So we
Spurs
definitely,
also lost, I believe, their 7th and 8th games.
Yeah, we definitely needed that win. We got it. Let's get some stats out of the way. Trez had a career high of 32 points on 14 of 17 shooting, along with 5 boards and 5 assists. We're going to talk about him more, but
Like he could have had 50.
Dude, it seemed like
he was unstoppable.
Just, like, it was incredible. Lou had 21 with 10 assists. I wouldn't be surprised if 10 of those went to Trez.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the pick and roll, again, we'll get into that, was unstoppable last night.
I think something on the season, the number isn't exactly correct, but it's like between 48 and 53% of Lou's assisted field goals of Trez's assisted field goals are all Lou.
That makes a bunch of sense.
Yeah.
Because if you watch any of our pick and roll, which apparently is our whole offense now, that's all we do. Gallo had an efficient 20 points with 4 of 7 shooting from 3, which was really great to see after.
Yeah, he got his groove back, man. Gallo was back.
Last two games, he was 1 of 10 from 3, so this was nice to see.
Definitely.
Patrick Beverley helped his re-sign me cause with 17, 8, and 9. The dude was everywhere.
He almost fouled out,
and
honestly, I would not have been mad.
No,
he was
playing fine with it.
He was playing so hard on both ends of the floor. It was like, I'm trying to even think of like a comparison. It's like when you see like nature things of like a feeding frenzy when they drop something in the water and
like
stuff.
The hungry piranhas.
And stuff is just like everywhere in circles, like looking to eat whatever is around it.
Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
And then for the Mavs, it was wonderful to watch Luka Doncic. I wish it wouldn't have been against our team. I'm happy we got the win, but he had 28, 10, and 10.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing really else to say. He did have 9 turnovers, which helped us out a bunch in this game. Tim Hardaway had a quiet 20-6.
Yeah.
Which we didn't really, we kind of looked up and realized he had 20. And then Dwight Powell, of course, killed us with 28-8-4. This one started off kind of rough, though.
It really did. You know, there were some mishaps, and it was a closer game, I guess, than I would have thought going into it. Like, mm-hmm. 9 is good. I kind of thought that we'd maybe even pile it on a little bit more, but, you know, obviously Luka had an incredible night, but there was a lot of reassuring stats. We outscored Dallas in the paint, 50-40. We rebounded really well, scoring 20 second chance points to their 12.
Yeah, that was big.
And it didn't feel like we were rebounding that well. Honestly, like watching the game, there were some points where they were getting like those second and third opportunities that always make me really nervous.
Yeah, there was a lot of effort. It's great now that we have Zubac on the team, to have a guy down low on offensive positions battling for offensive boards.
Yeah, and he finished with a pretty meaty stat line for only playing about 17 minutes. Mm-hmm. Let me pull that up. Yeah, he finished with 7 points, 8 boards, and 3 assists. And the 3 assist number was actually the thing that I thought was like the most intriguing. Ever since Zubac has started on this team, Doc has been kind of praising him for what he thinks the upside is for his passing game. And getting more.
It's slowly showing, I feel
it's,
like.
It's definitely,
which makes sense because they've had like 1.5 practices together.
Yeah, it's definitely slowly showing. But like he had more assists than one of our starting point guards. So pretty impressive.
Yeah, so in the first quarter, the starter shot a combined 29%. And then the bench came in and went 6 out of 10, which really helped us out.
Yeah.
That helped us out. The offense carried over into the second. We went 7 of 9 from 3 in the second quarter. And it just felt like a barrage, which was fantastic
definitely.
To watch. Trez went 4 of 4 inside the paint in the second. Mm-hmm. And it was really kind of the second was when it seemed like Trez was like, okay, I'm going to throw this name out here. this is my game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm taking this.
For sure.
Third quarter didn't start well, which is truly astonishing. Had no idea. We shot 38% for this quarter compared to their 55% from the field.
Wow.
Which I couldn't believe. They opened the quarter on a 12-2 run, and then after that it was just kind of bucket for bucket.
Yeah.
Like, which you don't really want to be when a team has Luka Doncic.
No, we did have trouble getting stops. We did have trouble getting stops. It got a little bit better with the lineup that Doc rolled out towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Being Lou and Pat in the backcourt with Garrett Temple at the small forward position, Jamichael Green, and then Trez as the center.
Green was
and,
huge.
I think that you could bolster that maybe a little bit more defensively if you wanted to, but really it seemed to be really pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. The fourth, we kind of entered in an uneasy position. It was 91-88. And then with 5 minutes left, we went on a little like 6-0 run that kind of put the game away, which helped us out.
Yeah.
But the lineup, there were 2 great lineups in the fourth that we saw. We saw Bev, Lou, Green, Temple, and Trez. And then with 6.5 left, the closeout lineup was Bev, Lou, Gallo, Temple, and Trez.
Yes. Yeah.
And this was like, this lineup was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Everyone was doing their job on this night. Like, everyone was slotted in. Green was hitting 3-point shots. It just worked.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really excited on that closing lineup. We'll get into it in a sec. But the biggest story of the game was the Lou and Trez pick and roll, which I guess the Green Lou and Trez pick and roll.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anytime we needed a bucket, which was for most of the game, we just leaned on this.
Yeah, it's really great the amount of spacing Jamichael Green has been able to add to that. I posted a little thing on Twitter, but I was asking Garrett Temple how he thought that lineup was able to work. So, well, given their limited amount of practice time,
mm-hmm.
They looked really, really pretty effective. And he just said that everybody knows their role, which makes sense when you got 2 guys coming from the Grizzlies, which I feel is like for a long time been like a defined role player kind of squad.
Yeah.
So I thought it worked really well. It was really great to see.
Yeah.
It seems like the guys are finally starting to drill post-trade deadline.
Mm-hmm. Trez only took 5 free throws, which is criminal. The dude takes so much punishment and does not get whistles.
We hadn't talked about that yet. The calls were a little baffling at times, and I don't know. I don't like to browbeat too much about the refs, but
it was borderline egregious.
It was some guys were just taking some pretty heavy contact at times, and then on other ends of the floor there were some very light fouls.
It was inconsistent, I would say, on both ends.
And like, I understand the nature of superstar calls.
Mm-hmm.
I get that, Luka. You know, I mean, pretty much already a superstar now. So I guess I do kind of understand that. But when it gets egregious is when it gets kind of like, I don't know.
100%. Trez did everything he does well great last night.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And so a key to this also was Jermichael Green. He put up 11 and 8 on 3 of 6 from 3.
But every point of that 11 huge. Was so impactful.
It came at a time when it felt like the game was just slipping away, mm-hmm. and then Jermichael Green would just hit a 3. When it was Lou, Trez, and Green, the Mavs had no idea who to guard.
Yeah.
Lou had that great quote in postgame. They were asking about the pick and roll, and he said, they have to guard me, they have to guard Green, and they have to guard Trez. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
Who do you not guard in that situation?
Yeah.
A great stat from Andrew Greif, LA Times beat writer, 26.6% of the passes Harrell has received this season have come from Lou Williams.
Okay.
Trez is shooting 65% after those passes.
Wow.
Dude, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, he ended up finishing 14 of 17 last night. Like, he was catching passes everywhere. And I'll be honest, some of them weren't even the best passes.
No, he was catching bad passes.
And he was really able to, like, pick it up off the ground and just finish. Green and Temple are such tough and competitive vets.
Couldn't agree more.
I think that was a good pickup. A sneaky good pickup, really.
Yeah, Temple, just going off of that, he guarded Doncic for 15 possessions and held him to just 3 points.
Wow.
Which was pretty cool. I talked to Garrett Temple after the game, very nice man, about what it's like to kind of guard Luka, and he brought up a good point. He said Luka looks for contact. Luka wants you to come at him.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you can take that content away, that kind of throws him off. Like, definitely. When you subtract that contact, when he's expecting it, you can really kind of throw him off his game.
For sure.
Which was great, too, because Temple had 2 super quick fouls. Like, Temple had more fouls than minutes.
Yes, he did. he got 3 fouls, I believe, in his first 2 minutes of play.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit worrisome, but then he was able to kind of slow down the game and really focus in. Trez's ability to pass out of the pick and roll needs to be highlighted more. Yeah, for sure.
He sometimes doesn't have to. I think it's good, but right now, like, there's something about it. He's getting whatever he wants at the rim.
I know. I think that adding more of a passing game definitely makes us more of a dangerous team, especially with more established 3-point shooters around the outside. But still, I don't know. Anytime he's in the post, I kind of want to just see Trez dominate.
Just jam it.
Especially when he's on, you know, when he's got a mismatch or he's on a guy who, you know, can't really stand with his stuff.
Yeah, there was a really funny. He took a jumper at one point, which went in, which was funny. Like,
he's getting some
He showed off his handles. He took. I think it was Cleaver.
Oh, yeah.
He took one on one. It was really funny.
His fake passes were good too.
Yes, he did a classic like the MJ, like the ball fake, and just immediately went in for a jam. Like,
I was really remarking on it last night just because we saw Trez handling the ball a little bit more, but like his handling and dribbling and everything has just come.
It's not bad.
It's like it looks a lot nicer.
Someone just asked how long before Trez starts hitting Harden step back threes. Week and a half. No, I don't know when that's going to happen.
Next season.
But this was definitely a must win game, which I'm happy we pulled it out. It was a little closer than I wanted it to be, but at the end of the day, win's a win. What are we going to do? Right now in the comments, we have a really mad Jazz fan. So give that guy your attention if you want. Fantastic game. Great sentiment. Wish we had more time at home. We don't have a home game until Sunday.
Definitely.
Which is truly insane. Anything else you want to say about the Mavs game?
Somebody real quick asked, do we want to rank the new guys in terms of keeping them with Shamet, Temple, Zubats, and Green?
Yeah, let's do that next segment.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Cool. So our ranking of the new guys coming up after this.
Yeah, but first, make sure you're following Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. If you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, it aggregates everything. This guy follows all of them. It aggregates everything. The stories feed on Instagram gives you longer info. It's great. Again, Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. So we got asked to rank the new guys in terms of keeping.
Yeah.
Okay, between Shamet, Temple, Zubac, and Green.
Yeah.
We can talk about Shamet a little bit. Very up and down night last night.
Yeah, so we saw him in the shoot around before, and he looked a little maybe off, and I think
something
that
was up. I don't know, fatigue, something.
I think that it was most likely fatigue. He had a bit of a cold night. Actually, I think he ended up shooting for 50% last game.
Yeah, he had a really nice, like, he started cold. He started 0 for 5, I think.
Yeah.
And then he hit two pretty big threes,
yeah,
which helped us out.
He finished with 22% last night, but I mean on the road, I think that he had one decent game and one not great game.
Someone has commented, Shamit looks like he doesn't want to be with us unless that's just his personality.
I think it's his face. I just you know, he might have like a little bit of like a RBF.
Okay, I mean that's fair. I think he does want to be with us. I think he's also just a young guy who's maybe getting used to life in the NBA. He got traded his rookie year. That'd suck.
Yeah, and it's gonna be super difficult. And also, I mean, I hate to make excuses for rookies, but it's inevitable. Playing a back to back at that level, I still think that no matter how good a shape you are, you're not quite at that conditioning point to be able to get those kind of shots.
Yeah. All right. So let's rank these guys. Sorry about that. Back on track. Shamit, Temple, Zubac, and Green. In terms of keeping next year, I'm putting Shamit at the top of the list still.
Ooh, I'd have to agree.
His floor spacing is so good. You have to think he's going to get into a rhythm again. Like, playoff experience or not, it's been a good year for him to try and gel with the team.
He's also he's just a guy you want to keep. Like, his skill set is only going to expand. He's a guy who can do like a lot of things a little bit and then do some things very, very well.
Defense needs work.
Like the motor is there and like the physical tools are there.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that he's going to come back a little bit bigger next year. So let's see. Somebody is ranking theirs and they're saying Shamit, Zoo, Green, Temple. I that's probably my exact ranking as well.
I would, I guess this depends on who we get in free agency, but as of today, with how Green is playing, I would put Green second.
Okay.
He's a great teammate. He knows his job. He takes some of the energy burden off of Trez.
Oh, yeah. No, I love Green. I would like to see him on this team next year, but I'm edging Zubats a little bit ahead of him just because there's so much upside there, and we do need a traditional size center. Somebody's saying Zoo needs a better playmaker with him. I mean,
we'll get into that in a sec.
He's got
sure.
the best rookie playmaker with him. So
I don't know if that's true.
But I just think that a lot of things can come. And Green, I mean, all these guys are close. You know, I would be psyched if all these guys came back next year. Just
be nice.
Just just depending, I guess, on what's out there. But yeah. I've been really impressed with the performance of these guys in a short sample size. So, you know, my opinion could very much change.
Kind of going off that, we can talk about the Shea situation. We got a question from Twitter user Giants on the Moon. Great handle before the pod started. He said, "How worried are you about Shea's recent slump?"
So I want to say not worried. The thing I guess that is a little disconcerting, and Doc mentioned it a little bit, is sometimes his composure gets a little bit off. And I think that that's fine. Like, I don't mind him not making shots. I don't mind him turning over the ball. I think the thing that's important through that is like keeping your chin up and like wanting to try so again.
Yeah, someone just, I think it was a LOL WTF Eric, shout out for the freaking drawing of us, dude. Go follow the Clipper Meme King. Yeah, I'm not too worried. He's 20. Eric just pointed out his low assist numbers. And I think this more has to do with how they're using him.
Yeah, so we need to talk about this. Yeah, I say that I have a minor concern, and it's just about his composure. And I do think that's something that he's going to be able to work to. It's just something to be wary of. Like, if you want to be great in this league, you got to accept that you're going to have crap nights.
For sure.
And you still have to find ways to add value.
They're kind of,
I think that he 100% can do.
Yeah,
but
he's only 20.
Yeah, but sorry. Like, going back to your point, we were talking a little bit last night about how sometimes it seems like he's not used in an optimal role. I think most notably when he's off ball. I just don't think that he's getting involved enough, and I don't know that that's necessarily his fault. It seems to be more the way the sets are drawn.
He seems to be in the corner a lot. And
yeah,
it's like
that it's his
he's
job.
He's a ball handler.
Yeah, yeah. So like, I think that he obviously is going to provide the most value when he's handling the ball, whether that's shooting or passing. I mean, I'm inclined to believe it's going to be the latter.
Because if you go back to the beginning of the season when he who shall not be named got hurt and they had to put Shea in the starting lineup, we started running actual sets with Shea.
Definitely.
Like, we ran actual plays with Shea.
Definitely.
In the offense and rotations and stuff like that. And that's what he thrives in. He's a system guy. I don't mean that in a bad way at all, but he's a great point guard within a system.
Well, the other thing is like with a young point guard, it's especially essential for them to have a more defined role and system.
Yeah.
I think they need sets that are engineered for them because they're not really ready for a free-flowing take the keys and run.
Because with Lou and Trez, you have Lou, the consummate veteran.
Yeah.
And you have a younger guy in Trez
who
still
is also
more,
a consummate veteran.
On this team, yeah. Who still has more experience than Shea, where it's like, you can tell Trez and Lou, go run the pick and roll with Jermichael Green.
We'll see
you
what
guys
happens.
Are going to figure it out. It's going to be great. But with Shea, you hope that he's getting more actual sets and more just like, you know, real plays and stuff like that.
Yeah, it seems they run a lot of, like, he'll drive and kick and then, like, just run out to the weak side or, like, run out on the baseline to, like, a corner scenario and then just kind of chill.
Eric just said, imagine Shea with LaMarcus Aldridge. It'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
But, yeah, again, I don't think, like, people shouldn't be freaking out about Shea right now. People shouldn't be turning on Shea. He's in the longest season of his life.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
He's 20. I think it's going
to
be fine.
He's going to figure it out. I just do think that there is something to be said that, like, some adjustments could be made in our playing style to, like, maybe better cater to his skills.
Yeah. Speaking on another rookie, Jerome Robinson, I believe, is playing right now for the Agua Caliente Clippers because he got reassigned.
Let's go, Romy Rome.
What? How do you feel about Jerome's season right now?
I feel about as expected.
Okay. I'm a little bummed. I don't think it's a bad season.
Okay.
I just wish he maybe got a little more playing time. I think the Landry signing was kind of, you know, putting Jerome into that you're developing this year for sure kind of category.
Definitely.
I'm glad he's getting reps with the Agua Caliente Clippers. I guess just, and this is kind of me being guilty of like the first round pick fallacy or whatever.
Yeah.
I just wish he got more runtime with the big dogs.
I think it would have been helpful. It's just hard. We just don't have a whole lot of minutes to give right now.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a bunch of stuff to work on. It's not like that. But.
And he's also one of those guys, like, I feel like so much we talk about with this squad that it's a collection of guys who know their roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know that his role is completely that defined yet.
Okay.
I think coming in, we thought we knew what it was going to be, which was going to be, you know, great spot up shooter.
3-and-D guy.
3-and-D kind of guy. And I just think that he's not 100% there yet. Like the release isn't quite quick enough. There's a little bit of hesitancy, but he does still have a, you know, he has a great skill set. He's very physically strong. He is a very smart defensive player.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's gotten the time to work things out yet. So I actually kind of figured, you know, with two rookies, especially first rounders, there was really only going to be time to develop one of them.
Yeah. Someone just pointed out he just needs time. Be patient for sure. I just was being greedy and wanted more rookie production.
Somebody said we already know he's a knockdown shooter. Very true.
Yeah.
You know, it just has had mixed results in game. I don't doubt that that's something that he would be able to come through with just more reps. You know, unfortunately, you can just only develop so many guys.
Yeah.
It's
also kind
season.
Of a. It was such a wild card pick.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Think it threw people absolutely. Off because me personally, when I saw the pick, I was like, "Oh, damn. Okay, this guy's gonna crush." But he's a development pick.
And
we picked him. We kind of snatched him away so no one else could get him.
And one more thing. I just feel like every time he's gone back to Agua Caliente and then come back, he comes back better.
Yeah, he's using his time very well.
He's like, I think he's using his time to build confidence, to work on skill sets. He obviously, we saw him in the locker room the other night. He was working with...
He was watching film.
He was working with a coach.
While multitasking.
Yeah, he's obviously trying to soak things up. So I'm not disappointed at all. It would be great if he had some more time. But, you know, it's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break and then come right back with more Twitter questions. Someone said, it seems like they have a lot of similar players to Rome. Got to get rid of some of them. Who do we keep? I don't think we have to get rid of any of them.
I don't think any team has said, you know, we have too many 3-and-D guys.
Yeah,
let's
true.
Get them out of here.
We have too many guys who can guard too many positions. That's funny.
So I think that it can work out. You know, it's just a timing thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously if we end up getting bigger guys or more developed guys in the backcourt through free agency, that could hamper his time some more.
Someone's saying, but if Doc doesn't use him, that confidence will go away. From what we've seen so far this year at Jerome, I don't think that confidence will go away.
Yeah, I think that it must have been an adjustment for him coming from being like the man
the
at
dude.
Boston College
yeah.
to like taking a more diminished role.
And then working out privately for Jerry West. Like,
yeah.
You're probably thinking, you're like, oh, this, I'm going to be the man again.
Definitely.
Rightfully so.
Definitely. But I do think that, with that being said, you know, we talk about the development and stuff. Jerome has a shorter path of development than Shea. Like, just pure, plain, and simple. Jerome has, like, his A to B point is going to be much shorter than Shea's just because they're two different Very varied skill sets.
Yeah, and Shea just has more responsibility.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Well, should have more responsibility if they started running more plays through him.
Yeah. Somebody commented earlier, sorry I missed your name, that they wanted Shea and Zubats to have that Trez and Lou connection.
There was some brief flashes of it last night on the pick and roll. Zubac ran it with Shea a couple times. Zubac hit Shea with a nice kind of like drop pass, which is really good. That's just going to come again with more practice time. But that could be a nasty pick and roll. Zubac's so long and big that if a team is switching, I don't know why you would.
Yeah.
Doesn't bucket every single time.
And if he's working on that sky hook that we keep hearing about.
Oh, baby.
There's a lot to look forward to there for sure.
What do you want to re-sign Zubac's at?
Zubac's, I think he's on a low deal, like a rookie. He's on a rookie scale deal, so I think he's at like maybe 1.2, something like that. I don't know, man. Probably 4 or 5 a year. Because you can pay less than the vet minimum. So
that's a great question that we can actually close out with. Who would you want us to play in the first round of playoffs? Not sure if you've been asked this yet. We haven't. Fantastic question. My dream matchup, because I think we could just ruin them because they're fragile, is the Blazers.
Blazers, I like.
I think we could cause some problems for the Blazers.
I don't love... I guess my one qualm with the Blazers would just be the center position. Mm-hmm. Adding Enes Kanter... They have like a lot of big guys. I do still think though that like he doesn't pose that big of an obstacle for Trez defensively. Like he's not like that. He's not like a huge rim protector.
He's not a Mason Plumlee, if you will.
But I think that Trez would have a really hard time guarding him.
Okay. Who do you think we should play? Who would you like us to see? A big part of the Blazers thing for me is their mental fragility. After last year, I feel like they're thinking about that a ton.
Definitely.
If we took an early game against them, it would be a very slippery slope.
They have added a bunch of role players, but it's still like...
God, looking at the West sucks.
I mean, I want...
The Spurs? Like, if that's possible? But I don't think it is.
I would take the Spurs. I would take... honestly, I kind of like us on the Rockets in 7.
Ooh.
And I know that's like a little...
That's bold.
That's a little spicy, but...
I like that. That's fair.
I kind of like that matchup over 7 games, especially given what they've lost defensively.
Yeah.
I think with a larger lineup, especially like, you know, if both Garrett Temple and Jamichael are really clipping from 3 by the end of the season, I mean, that's a nightmare of a matchup for those guys. So I don't really know. I mean, the Rockets, I'm not saying that like we would beat them or anything, but
no,
I like
a great series.
I just feel like we have a real puncher's chance against them just given their defensive liabilities and they can turn over the ball and stuff and we can trap so well.
They are also still running a 12-man roster.
Yes.
So fatigue-wise, we would probably have them. Clipper Kyle just said, I'm not trying to relive Game 5 all over again. I feel you, Clipper Kyle. But guys, that about wraps it up for us. We're going to keep live streaming a little once we stop recording. But tomorrow, we're going to be previewing the pretty insanely important game against the Jazz.
Yes.
We are separated by half a game out of the 6th spot with the Jazz ahead of us. We got a big preview coming to you guys. We're going to be live streaming the rest of the week as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So every day, tune in,
1:45.
It'll be 1:45 every single day.
We're going to have a preview. We're going to have a live stream. We're going to have a What Could Have Been Wednesday for you guys. We will see you tomorrow. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.